Welcome back to Copper Country Today. I'm your host, Rick Allen. Joining me in studio right now is the chair of the Houghton County Board of Commissioners, Al Koskala. Al, welcome to the program.
Thank you. I'm here.
This is our first time, you know, getting together and being able to talk. And so I appreciate you coming in, but I guess I also apologize for not having you in the first time you ran. I wasn't with the station during the last election cycle, so you're going for you. This is your third term now, correct?
Correct. Yeah, this will be my third term, or this is my third election I'm going through. Hopefully it becomes a third term.
Yeah. What areas do you represent?
I take care of five townships. I take care of Schoolcraft, Torch Lake, Osceola, Franklin, and Quincy townships. There's five townships in my district. Okay. District number two.
And if my memory serves me correctly, your background was in education.
No? I used to be an education board member for many years, but my background started way back as a farmer originally, and then I went on from there. I went in the plumbing industry, and then I went into the engineering industry, and then from there I was in the education industry simultaneously, and now it's the county industry.
What did you farm?
We had a farm in Trap Rock Valley. We raised chickens, and we had dairy and whatever it took to make a living back in the 40s and 50s. Pickings were pretty slim.
Do you ever miss those days?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I do. I miss the good times.
So what brought you into wanting to get into county politics?
Well, actually, I was a member of the Copper Country Intermediate School Board at that time, and I was approached by a lady that said that the current representative of our district is retiring, and she asked me if I'd run. I said, well, I could try it, and here I am.
Was that Ed Jenich?
No, that was Dennis Barrett.
Dennis Barrett,
okay. Yeah, Dennis Barrett, he graduated the same year as I did from high school. I was one of his schoolmates for probably about 8 or 9 years up in Calumet.
Is there a particular areas of county business that in particular that are interest of you in this position?
Well, yes, there's. I'm really strong into the mental health part right now because we have a terrific problem in that area that's been introduced by probably a little bit too much drugs in the area and a limited budget, and it's been very tough. There is an excellent director there, Vicky Mikola, who runs a show over there, but they have a rough time of it.
Are you referring to the Copper Country Mental Health Board? Or?
Correct, the Copper Country. I'm the county representative on that board. Every county has a representative on that mental health board, and it's a struggle.
Are they making any headway?
Well, and I don't know if you're making any headway or if we're slipping behind. It seems like the quantity of drugs in the area is increasing, which increases the quantity of mental health issues. And the budget seems to be shrinking. We're going in the opposite direction, so it's not a good situation.
Just a few minutes ago, as you were coming in, Sheriff McLean was going out, and we were talking about some of the drugs that were in the area. Prescription pills used to be, of course, one of the dominant drugs in the area. They still play a large part in. I've read studies about how doctors, especially as these drugs became more and more available and are prescribing more of them, and now they kind of regret it because they've produced such a large supply of them that they're out there, and it's what's feeding the drug habits.
Well, that feeds it, and we also have a terrific problem in this area with heroin, and that wasn't the big issue a few years ago. I mean, it was mostly this weed or marijuana that was around, but they start on that and then go to other things. Stronger and better or whatever, I'm not sure, but and when they legalized it for medical purposes, all of a sudden everybody got sick, I guess, so they could get it. It's a real problem.
Budget-wise, the county board recently just passed the budget, and you were mentioned about how things were cut. How has the cuts affected the fight against the drug problem and also aiding those who need mental health services?
Well, they got their annual stipend that the county board furnishes. The cuts to mental health come from the state. They actually get their revenue through an outfit called North Care, which is this that takes care of the whole UP for the disposition of monies to these mental health issues. Mental health, and I think there's other things that North Care sits in front of too. But so we didn't really cut anything out of mental health, but we didn't have a lot to give either.
The NorthCare network issue that has come up during the last several board meetings. Now, when I try to address these things during the morning news following it, I get about 45 seconds. Here we have a little bit more time. Can we kind of get an idea of what's going on and what the struggle is?
Well, NorthCare is, I think there's, I'm not sure how many in the state that these areas were on a few years back. The state appointed, I don't know what you would call it, a handler of business, so to speak, and the NorthCare takes up care of the entire Upper Peninsula. I think there's six mental health districts in the Upper Peninsula, and they oversee all of them, plus they oversee other things. There's quite a few things they're involved in. So any fights for money has to come through NorthCare. And that's, to me, that's, NorthCare is nothing more than a skimming off thing. They take their cut and pass out the rest to what's left of the mental health districts across the UP. But mental health hasn't, it's kind of a, there's kind of a stigma attached to mental health. When you mention that right away, people don't really like to talk openly. And it's a real problem. And there's people around this area that have gone through that and are cured of it. And they are good people to talk to get your perspective in the right order. But generally, when you mention mental health, well, people kind of climb up. It's not a real open subject.
Now, for local services, is there, what prevents the county from funding local services for mental health?
Budget.
Budget, okay.
Yeah, we only have a limited amount of revenue that we get, and we have to cover everything from the airport to the jail to you name it. I mean, there's a lot of things we got to cover with that.
And is it requirement that the money gets sent to the coordinating agency first? That's a requirement. Is that by the state?
The state money goes to that coordinating agency, yes. The local money goes direct from the county to mental health.
Oh, okay. Well, good. Thank you for clearing that up. Like I said, try to pull as much information I can out during some of the meetings and then relay it to the public the best I can in a short amount of time. So, like I said, this format is good for kind of clearing, up and going a little bit more depth with that. What's the future with this?
The future is bleak so far. I was just at a meeting in Iron Mountain this past weekend with mental health, and there doesn't seem to be anything coming to the rescue this year, maybe next year, but there isn't a lot of money. A lot of the money in Michigan right now currently goes to the Flint area for their water system that should have gone to other places. So there's a shortage there.
Okay. Yeah. Let's stick on with money and just how money is handled here in the county. You have other municipalities that, the cities of Houghton, of Hancock, other villages that, everybody sort of got to share the same pool of tax money that's generated here. Houghton County is able to capture anything that's not in the city, just out in the county?
Right. Well, they can't capture everything, but it goes back to the cities or whatever that the taxes are, other than city taxes, which is a separate deal altogether, but all the taxes are paid to the county and they go back to where they're going to go. And some of it goes to the state to return again, but I don't really follow the money trail so much as close as the everyday things that are occurring. But what is really hurting the county are these here cities put these districts in that they capture the funds. For a specific reason, Houghton has one, Hancock has one, Calumet. All of these communities have a tax-capturing district.
The downtown districts.
The downtown districts. And they don't have a sunset on them. When they're through with whatever they wanted the money for to begin with, they keep on getting that for eternity, and the money never comes back to the county again. So you get left shorthanded that way. But they're good ideas when they start, but they don't have a sunset law, which they should. I know downstate in the county where Mount Pleasant is, there's not I think there's nine of these tax increment districts there, and the city is broke. I mean, but they got all kinds of money through their tax increment district, so the county's broke. It's a problem.
Not enough money to go around.
Exactly. Exactly. But in the last few years, the Houghton County's done real well. We have a county administrator who is very good with the money, and he seems to keep people satisfied and keeps the budget balanced.
There's, as we say, there's just not enough money for everything. One of the things that have come up is renovations needed at the Houghton County Arena. Have you been out there to see what they need?
Yes, I've followed that kind of closely, being involved in hockey in the past. But there's a problem there that comes into play between the Houghton County Arena and the Calumet Armory. Houghton County Arena, when they charge for rentals, they say they have to charge the same amount as what the Calumet Armory charges. You know, well, fine and dandy to charge the same amount, but the Calumet Armory has a millage up there. They're getting money besides that rental, so they can keep their rentals low. Houghton County Arena doesn't have a millage, so they should raise their rates so that they can cover their costs and put a little aside for repairs or whatever, but so far they haven't been able to do that. I think then that'll be coming in the future, though they'll have to. The problem over there right now with the roof is a major problem, and that could cost upwards of maybe $400,000, and money don't grow on trees, you know. I mean, and the county just kicked in up for a new ice plant a couple years ago. They had I think they borrowed the money and they're still paying that off. So there's other things going on. Plus, this year they spent $80,000 on new bleachers. Maybe they should have put a roof there before they put seats in there. I mean, or else give seats with umbrellas, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, well, I remember going up there when they needed the new ice plant machine because the stuff that they were using wasn't going to be available anymore. I believe it had been the material had been banned.
Yeah, and I was on that board when that place was built back in the 70s, early 70s, with Alder Mikula was one of the guys I remember. And there's quite a few on that original board where we went for this DNR grant for building these things. And then I dropped out of there because I got involved with the one in Lake Linn and the Torch Lake Arena, which in a couple of years the roof fell in on. I don't know if you knew that,
no.
But it was rebuilt. And then finally Lake Linn dropped out of hockey pretty much totally. So now the thing is a production plant for welding rod.
Okay, yeah, because I wasn't familiar with an arena over there. So
yeah, that's between Lake Linn and Hubble. That was an operation probably for 20 years at least, and then finally, there's the interest in hockey dropped off to a point where it didn't pay to keep it open, and they sold it.
Hmm. So, how long have you lived in that area?
Well, I started there in 1940.
Oh, so you've over in that area, because you live over in Lake Linden,
in
right?
In Trap Rock Valley, yeah.
Okay.
And then I left there for a few years to go to Detroit, and I picked up a trade as a plumber down there, and then I came back. Hmm. So I've probably been there for 70 years.
Wow. We hear a lot about, of course, Houghton and Hancock, because that's our major population centers that we have right now. Calumet, of course, with a lot of things going on there, and they just had the 150th anniversary. Lake Linden and Hummel area, my family actually dates back there. You know, I have records of my great-great-grandfather living in Hummel going back to around 1900, and my great-grandfather lived in Lake Linden there until I think about the 40s. What is what's the future of Lake Linden and Hubble, and how's it maintaining here?
Well, the big thing going on is actually in Hubble, and it's called Coppers now. It used to be PCI, Peninsula Copper Industries. Then it went to Osmo's. Now it's Coppers, and they're a producer of copper carbonate, which is used in a wood treatment industry, and they are very, very busy. They can't produce enough of this product. And it's distributed down to South Carolina from here into Middleton, Tennessee. That's where it's sent out to. And then from there, it's processed further, and then it goes to the wood treatment plants. But they have they must have 60 or 70 employees there. And those are very well-paying jobs, and it's a good industry. Other than that, it's a lot of small things that keeps the area going, really. Schools, maybe one of them in the... Other than that, there is no big employers. So everybody, and then in the morning, if you look at the lights, most of the lights are heading to Houghton. They work at Michigan Tech, which is the major employer of this area. A few go up the hill to Calumet to the hospital, but there really isn't much going on other than school down here in the daytime.
Well, they still have a good football team.
Well, yes, I'm kind of intrigued with football. I was at a game last Saturday, matter of fact, in Wisconsin, Tomahawk, Wisconsin, and I'm amazed at with the limited number of personnel they have, that how well they play. They seem to come out with something every year. I don't know. It's tradition, I guess.
I've had a chance to call a couple of the Lakes games, and you know, they're a lot of fun to watch. And there's, I don't know if there's a better place to call a football game than, you know, from the Lake Linden Field right there, yeah, because of the view that you get and the breeze coming off the lake. And you surprised me earlier when you said that you've had some experience doing that too, working in radio.
Yeah, I did for about 10 years. But it's easier now than when Ron Warner was there, because Ron Warner ran so many different formations that if you wanted to describe them to the people that couldn't see them, you had to study them ahead of time. My sons played there, and they had a playbook that was as thick as a Webster dictionary, and he expected to know them all. So that's how he beat teams, because he'd keep on trying things until there was something that they couldn't stop, and they didn't stop them. But football was big in Lake Linden, but the school population dropped way off. I don't know if there's 155 or something now in high school, so they're getting rather hard to furnish an 11-man football team, but the current coach don't ever want to go to an 8-man, so should be around for a while. I think he's going to end up having to play these Class C schools around here, because there's no more Class D schools playing 11-man football after this year. The last two teams are dropping out. They're going down to 8-man, so and there won't be no 11-man Class D up here.
What about combining teams like some of the other school districts do?
Well, there's been talk in the area about Lake Linden co-ops with Jeffers for hockey, and people over there said, well, if they want us to co-op with them for a hockey team, well, then they're going to have to send their boys over here for football. So right now the Jeffers boys go to Hancock, but there's that talk in the area that we're not going to co-op with them for hockey if they don't want to co-op with us for football. So I don't know what's going to become of this. Is that just talk, or is that something that's real? I don't know. So, but as it is now, they still got six more games to play this year, and they're still in Class D.
It is amazing what they do over there with that school. Okay, going back a little bit, some of the board issues. The hot topic for Houghton County during the primary election had to do with the Houghton County Medical Care Facility. And by 80-20 vote, it was supported to renew that millage and carry things on. When you consider this topic here, what do you see as the value of the facility and the importance of continuing to support it?
Well, that is the number one facility probably in the UP as far as medical care facilities go. It is the best. The topic that came up was on a millage renewal because of the bank balance that the medical care had at the time. They had $20 million in the bank, and they were going for a millage. So some of the people in the area were questioning whether they needed that millage with that much money in the bank. And the answer from the medical care says that they put that money aside for a project. Now they're doing an expansion project right now, and it's about $10 million or something like that. And by being able to put money aside out of their budget every year, they don't have to go for a millage for a project. But they have an annual millage, operating millage at 2.55 mils. And then the topic came up that maybe they should drop that amount to a lesser amount and continue on that way. But as it was, it went for the 2.55. But I don't know of anybody on that board that was against the medical care, like the rumors were that, oh, somebody wants, they don't like the medical care. That's not true at all. And then they were talking about Tea Party people being against it. Well, I don't know if there's really a Tea Party in the Copper Country or not. I haven't seen any Tea Party ads or anything. So anyhow, that's over with, I think. But what they did then, they put a lot of candidates out there to run against the current board members who they thought were against the medical care. And I'm certainly not. I've had relatives. My mother-in-law was in there for about 4 years or so, and my brother-in-law just died there. He was in there for a couple years. I visit that place on a regular basis, and it is a well-kept, well-run place. I got no qualms whatsoever with it, you know.
The issue seems to always come back to the general topic of a privatization, whether or not certain things have to be privatized.
No, it won't be privatized. That was, I don't know who started. I think that rumor was probably started by somebody over there in the union or something. I'm not sure, but privatization, no. No, you won't see that.
I hadn't even heard that that was a topic till that day. I remember I was pretty surprised walking in, and had to move the meeting down to the civil court room there. And
there was a raft of angry people there. I mean, they all were up in arms because of not really knowing what was going on and what they thought was going on, and they left there happy, I think.
Do you still keep an eye on what goes on in the schools?
A little, but not out in the open. Kind of in the back, I kind of watch what's going on. Yes, that's still one of my interests. I had 8 kids, and they all went to school, and so I have an interest in those places.
What would be your assessment of our Copper Country schools right now, and how they're doing with the money that they have and the product they're putting out?
Well, being on a board in Lansing for many years with the Michigan Association of School Boards, I used to attend a meeting down there once a month, and I ran into a lot of people from school districts, and I always felt good going home that thank goodness I belong to the school districts up here. I was at a meeting one time in the Romulus School District, which is by the Detroit Metropolitan Airport. It's a big school district and a wealthy school district. The guy from that school district, every meeting would complain about not enough revenue, that the foundation allowance has to be increased. We can't make it. So one meeting, I said, well, John, how much are you getting on your foundation loans? Well, just a little bit over $11,000 per student, he said, and that just don't cut it. I said, well, how would you like to survive on $7,000 per student? Well, nobody does that. I said, well, you just get north of that Mackinac Bridge, and there ain't a school up there that gets more than $7,000 a student. He said, that's a lie. I said, check on it. But the schools around here do quite well with what they know how to handle their money. The only problem we have around here is the CTE program should be bigger for kids that aren't going to college so they can pick up a trade, but that has to be done in the future. And the way the state started this off doing, well, they want to do as part of our education system, but it can't, the two aren't compatible. You should have a training system and an education system so that the education system ain't dictating to the training system how to educate the trainers. And right now everything comes under this here highly qualified in education. A teacher has to be highly qualified. Well, if you wanted to learn plumbing, would you go to a plumber or would you go to a highly qualified teacher? There's a difference there, and they can't draw that line yet. They don't understand that you don't have to go to college for 4 years to teach a plumber. You got to be in a ditch for 4 years to teach a plumber, and that's a big issue right now. And they're finally starting to break through on that in the state. They're starting to release some money for this. And the Jeffers School has just put up a building for some trades program there. Lance has a program there. And the Intermediate Schools has a start of one. I think Calumet Schools is starting a little bit now, too. But if they'd get together and get one program separate from the education system, they could do well.
I am seeing some movement on that as far as from the Copper Country ISD that they're promoting that, and it's good to see.
It's got to come out of there, though. It's got to go to a training system, not a school system. This is totally different. And one of the things that you got to understand with these programs we have now, they have a two-hour block of time. So a student coming out of Lake Lynn or whatever goes down to the auto mechanics at the ISD, they're on a bus for 15, 20 minutes. They get over there, get their clothes changed or whatever, they get their tools out, and it's time to put the tools away and get back on a bus and go. A two-hour block of time will not work. And the reason they have to have a two-hour block, because they have the other requirements, the second-year algebra and all the rest of this crap that's still in the game for these people, which shouldn't be there, so that they could send them down there and say, do something all day. Maybe Monday, Wednesday, and Friday you're down there, and Tuesday and Thursday you're in class. But they don't understand the separation of the two, and that's where the problem comes in.
Have you had a chance to see the trades building that Jeffers built?
Yes. They've done a good job there. Yeah.
Is that an example of how schools should try?
Well, they're trying on their own because there's nobody else. There's nobody in the top end starting that across the state, so everybody's trying it on their own, and they, instead of pooling their resources and doing something bigger, everybody's doing a little bit at a time on their own, which helps, but I don't say is the answer to it.
Al, if you're elected again, is there certain projects that you'd like to be able to accomplish over the next couple of years?
I'd like to keep the budget balanced, for number one. I would like to see a continuation of some progress toward our mental health issue, which the county has an investment in, and some way to recover some of the funding that we're losing on that. And whatever hits the plate, I guess. I'm ready to argue with anybody.
Well, thank you for coming in. I'm glad we didn't argue. Good luck on November 8th, and thanks again for coming on the show.
Thank you.
Copper Country Today, we'll be right back.